Praise the Lord, church. It's been a wonderful praise experience this morning thus far. Would you agree? And our God is a good God. He's faithful. And I want to thank the church for their prayers, for their...
I'm not sure I understand.
You know, that's why the Bible has to repeat things so often, because many of us don't understand, but we'll all understand it better by and by. Time is well spent, but I have a word for you from the Lord, and I'm asking you to open your ears and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. The title of my message today is The Power of Song in Worship. What about Christian standards? We are living in an age where any teachings about God and the Bible are deemed by many to be out of date and out of touch with the world in which we live in. Old and old-fashioned and outdated. Today is Watford Town's Music Day, and I'm going to be speaking on what about Christian standards. And I can assure you that the sole aim of my message is just to get you to think. Hopefully and prayerfully you will see things in a different way to how you saw them before. Now, music is very dear to me, and I've, over the years, done a lot of research on this topic of music, long before I knew that I was going to have the opportunity to preach a sermon here at Watford Town. I pray that it will be a blessing to you today as you listen. And my intention in sharing this message with you is not to be controversial. And I am mindful, based on all of your individual influences and your different journeys in regards to music and your different exposures to music, that we are probably all at different places in our views. However, today I would like to share with you how music, under the guise of Christian praise and worship, has morphed and transformed into something in the Adventist church that sadly is no longer representative of God, of what God requires, nor is it representative of who He, God, is. So we will look how liberalism in regards to music has completely changed in the Adventist church, and look at what music has become in God's church. I have been encouraged by the music that has been sang and presented in Watford Town Church today, and I know that when I come to church at Watford Town every Sabbath, that I'm in a safe place. Whilst I am a musician, I'm not an authority on music in any capacity, but I do believe and know, having experienced it for myself, that with the wrong spirit leading, musicians can use instruments in a way that is not spiritually motivated, but instead is spiritually destructive. And on the flip side, the reverse is also true. And if a musician is led by the Holy Spirit, the worship, as we have experienced today, can be enhanced and can be a blessing to the congregation. In other words, the relationship that the musician has with God and the way in which the musician views God will determine the manner of how that musical instrument or that song is sung in the worship service. So where do we start, church? Where do we begin in the limited time that we have today? Well, I'm only going to be able to share with you a small picture. And I pray, therefore, that by the grace of God, you will be equipped with some new information that will cause you to reflect, think, and please allow the Holy Spirit to guide you as you move forward with your understanding, appreciation, and use of music in God's church. But before we start, I want us to set a level ground, and I'm using a text for us to keep in our minds as I move through what I have to share with you. And that text is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, which says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Keep that text in mind as we move through. God is not the author of confusion. As I move through, I'm going to be moving very quickly as time is running away from us, but I'm going to ask you to, as I always do, to write down the text, write down the references that I use, and in your own time, go through them again. So I'm asking you to pray for me as I share what I have to share with you. And I'm asking the Lord to put his words in my mouth so that it will be a blessing to each of you today. Let us pray. Father, here I stand, but I cannot do this alone. So I'm asking your Spirit to fill me now. Fill me now. Holy Spirit, fill me now. So that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may truly be acceptable in your sight. I pray and ask this in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The subject of music in our church has been a contentious issue, and at one point it has been a real bone of contention for me. However, despite the skepticism of some, there is a clear distinction between sacred music and secular music, and the two should definitely be kept separate. The theme of Lift Him Up, which is a theme of our music day today, suggests that in all that we do musically, it should do nothing more than to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The very thought that secular music and sacred genres could be mixed together in the worship of God is an idea straight from the so-called Book of Confusion by Satan himself. The use of secular styles or secular genres of music styles is inappropriate and unacceptable to be played in church. The music and songs that we use in the worship of God should be wholesome and uplifting, raising the thoughts of the individual only to God. Let us look at what the Bible says. We read earlier in our scripture reading, Genesis 4, about the story of Cain and Abel. So we're just going to break this down very quickly. Two men came to worship, Cain, the older brother, and Abel, his younger brother. Abel brought a lamb that could shed blood, while Cain brought fruits that did not bleed. Cain, being the older brother, knew that he had to bring an animal, but he refused to do so. Abel brought an animal because he knew that he could not save himself. They had both been taught this by their parents. And Abel, remembering this, resisted the temptation to try to engage in self-righteousness as his brother did. Rather, Abel came trusting in the saving merits of God. Cain came trusting in his own words and in his own works. And the Bible says in Genesis 4, verse 4, "The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." Why do I mention this story as a prelude of our looking at music in our worship services? Well, I'm glad you asked. Two brothers, two sacrifices, or another way of putting it, two acts of worship. And the Bible lets us know that in this story, God demonstrated two opposite reactions to these two offerings. Both brothers came to offer worship to God, but God only accepted one act of worship that was offered to him from Abel, and God rejected the act of worship offered to him from Cain. Is this clear, church? Whether you have noticed it or not, there is a concept of music that has crept into our church over the years that is sadly now pretty much established as being the norm. Pretty much most styles of secular music now have some kind of religious genre as well. Let me share some of them with you. Gospel rap or gospel hip hop. Gospel reggae, have mercy. Gospel rock. Gospel blues. Gospel country and western. Gospel soul. Remember our focus text, church? God is not the author of confusion. Early this year, in March 2024, Kerry Dairy launched a groundbreaking dairy line called Smug. They have recently launched a range of products that blends oat and dairy. The blending of plant-based milk, oat milk, with dairy milk. I mean, why? Isn't this just crazy? Plant milk is supposed to be an alternative to dairy milk. Why then would you blend both dairy and plant-based together in order to create a new product? It really doesn't make any sense. Well, as a result of this merger, it has sparked a backlash and a controversy, as I'm sure you will understand, amongst the plant-based community. Not myself, but, you know, I have views. And they are making a lot of noise about it because the thought is that the two should not go together. I'm trying to make an important point here, church. Just because the word gospel is in front of a style of music, this doesn't change what the music is, nor does it make the music acceptable to God or acceptable for worship to God. Do you get the point? If our intention in our worship of God is to lift him up, then there must be uncompromised obedience to God. If obedience to what God requires or asks for is clearly not present, then using something in church or allowing something to happen in church which clearly isn't right or clearly is not in accordance with what God requires makes whatever is being done unacceptable to God. Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So, God accepted the offering and worship of Abel. He not only accepted the worship, but he also accepted Abel, the worshiper. With Cain, God rejected his offering and his worship. God did not just reject Cain's offering and his worship. God also rejected Cain, the worshiper. He rejected Cain. Cain was angry that his sacrifice was not accepted and he was rejected by God. Abel did well. That is why God was able to accept his worship. Cain did not do well. This is why God rejected his worship. God is a fair God. God is a very fair and very balanced and merciful God. And as members of God's church, sadly, we have taken our eyes off the ball and some of our worship services are no longer identifiable as being peculiar, different as God requires his people to be. 1 Peter 2, 9 reminds us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of God who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We cannot worship God trying to please others. Our sole endeavor must be always to please God only. Unless we are obedient to what God requires and sincere in our worship of God, God cannot accept our worship. Like the offering given by Cain, God will, make no bones about it, reject it. God will reject such worship. When I was growing up, story, Dennis, there were clear differences in the styles of worship between the SDA church and other denominations. Now I must say that I'm personally horrified as I see and watch on YouTube the types of worship services each week that are proudly on display in the Adventist churches. I want you all to take a look at this video that I'm going to show you. There is no sound, there's no music. I just want you to watch carefully in regards as to what you can see. Then afterwards, I'm going to ask you two questions. I just want you to watch what you can see. It's not a clear video. Just in the interest of time, I'll talk while it's going on. Let me just say to you, this video was recorded at camp meeting, South England Conference camp meeting in 2015. Now, I want you to put your hands up if this looks to you like a secular event. Now, those of you who think it looks like a Christian event, put your hands up. Whilst I'm up here saying what I'm saying, you know, talk is cheap. And you may not see what I see, but it's important for you to understand what is going on in our Adventist churches. Now, I'm going to play the clip again. Or do I need to press Carl? Backwards. This time I'm going to play the same video and you're going to hear exactly what they were praising to. Okay, so the words of the song they're singing is a chorus that we sing in the church called "We Are Marching Over to Jerusalem." Now, I want you to just think of the words for a second, because as far as my Bible says, when Christ comes, it says, the Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall they be ever with the Lord. This song says we are marching over to Jerusalem. So fast forward 1,000 years. The second resurrection. When individuals on the earth are walking towards the city of God. These individuals are singing, they're marching. Which resurrection are they planning to wake up in? God is not the author of confusion. About 1997 or 1998, some pastors from our conference here in the UK, specifically from the AY and Teams department, they visited South Africa and they heard this same song being sung in an SDA church. They learnt it. We are marching over to Jerusalem. And they brought it back to the UK for the young people of our conference to learn and sing. So we've heard the version that was taught to us here. But let's listen to the original version from Africa of this song. Agree with me, church, that even the concept of the marching and being raised, the change is spectacular. How can this be? Lucifer in heaven was the chief musician. He was the leader of the heavenly choir. So he knows about the power of music. And when he lost his position in heaven, he was cast out. And according to scripture, he was very angry. Revelation 12 verse 9 reminds us, rejoice heavens, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. Satan was determined to make war with the remnant, those who obediently followed the law and the will of God. Before Christ went to the cross, he spent time with his disciples, explaining to them about the signs of the end times. And after speaking with them about the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 23, the disciples asked him, Master, what are the signs of your soon coming? And the first thing Jesus said to them in Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed that no man deceives you. And we know that deception, lies, and misrepresentation of the truth is the bedrock of everything that Satan does. Smoke and mirrors are the tools of choice. But John 8:44 reminds us, young people, he, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, or some translations will say he speaketh his own language, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ellen White says this in The Story of Redemption, page 25. Satan had led the heavenly choir. He had raised the first note. Then all the angelic hosts had united with him, and glorious strains of music had resounded through heaven in honor of God and his dear Son. Ezekiel 28:13 reminds us that the workmanship of thy tabrets, this is talking about what Satan was like in heaven, and that of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So the Bible and spirit of prophecy both confirm the fact that Satan was a musician while he was in heaven. Although he was cast out of heaven, though, church, he never lost his spiritual powers so as to speak. So Satan has all the subtlety that he could muster to infiltrate God's church with styles of so-called worship music that confuses many of the music and worship leaders in our church. So how can we be aware when he comes with confusion? One occasion when Jesus was preaching on the Mount of Olives, Jesus was speaking to the many people who had gathered there to hear him. Challenged by what Jesus was saying, some of the Pharisees heckled and mocked him so much so that they lost the understanding of what Jesus was actually trying to say. However, there were some in the crowd who had a teachable spirit, who were listening and hanging on to every word that Jesus spoke. And Jesus turned to them and said in John 8, 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word,'" continue in what, church? "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So how can we be made aware of any confusion, any lies or seeds of doubt that the devil is saying, sowing? Jesus says, "Continue in my word, and you shall know the truth." Spend much time in the word of God, my brothers and my sisters. Do you remember the words of that well-known children's song that said, "Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. But if you read your Bible and pray every day, then you'll grow, grow, grow." If you refuse to carve out precious, unchangeable time to spend with God every day, you will not grow. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free only if you abide in the truth. Free from what? Free from the deceptions. Free from the lies and false representations. Music is one of Satan's preferred methods of confusion. He's most knowledgeable on the subject of music. Music causes emotional reactions, and Satan knows that very well. Ellen White says this in Counsels to the Church, page 172, where she's addressing a certain style of music that does not belong in the church. She says, "The art of sacred melody was diligently cultivated in the school of the prophets. Music was made to serve a holy purpose, to lift the thoughts to that which was pure and noble and elevating, and to awaken in the soul devotion and gratitude to God." She goes on to say that frivolous songs and the popular sheet music of the day seem congenial to their taste. The instruments of music have taken time which should have been devoted to prayer. Music, when not abused, is a great blessing, but when put to a wrong use, it is a terrible curse. It excites, but does not impart that strength and courage which the Christian can find only at the throne of grace, which, while humbly making known their wants, and with strong cries and tears, pleading for heavenly strength to be fortified against the powerful temptations of the evil one. Satan is leading the young, and I would say the church, captive. Oh, what can I say to lead them to break his power of infatuation? He's a skillful charmer, luring them on to perdition. Perdition, for those of you who don't know, is a state of eternal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unrepenting person will succumb to after the second coming of the Lord. According to what we just read from Counsels to the Church, earthly music should reflect the music of heaven, worship music. Satan has influenced the creation of a genre of music called contemporary music. Now, Susan Rogers is an American professor, sound engineer, and record producer, and she's best known for being the staff engineer on Prince's albums like Purple Rain and others, and she's also the director of a Berkeley Music Perception and Cognition Laboratory. And when I looked up the definition of contemporary music on the Berkeley College of Music website, Susan Rogers defines contemporary music as being for and about young people. She goes on to say it serves dancing, socializing, courtship, and signaling how one would like to be seen in the culture. Listening to contemporary music, she says, should be much more about feeling and much less about analysis. As I mentioned earlier, Lucifer was the chief musician in heaven. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, church, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That being the case, Satan knows how to impact people with the wrong kind of music so that they don't desire Christ anymore, even though they think they are. Is it possible that some of the music that is being played, sung, and presented in our churches, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church denomination, is actually not just leading our youth, but many of our members away from Christ? The mindset these days is that God wants you to come just as you are and you stay as you are. There are certain kinds of music that when people hear the music, they do not desire Jesus. Satan's prime method of deception is to mingle truth with error. So would you expect Satan to mingle sacred music with secular music to deceive human beings to believe that they are worshiping God? Obviously, the answer is yes. Growing up in an Adventist family, at the age of 19, I left the church to pursue my own interests. From a young age, I had been exposed to music. Christian music as a young Christian in the home and classical music as a young pianist. I'd grown up around Christian music playing in my home. At one stage of my childhood, my dad worked at a record company called CBS Records, which is now known as Sony. And one of the perks of being an employee at this record company that you were able to buy music at a fraction of the cost, records. Some of you may not know what I'm talking about. My dad brought home all of the latest Christian albums. They were all checked by my mum before they came over the threshold. And the ones that were allowed to be played in our home were songs by Pat Boone and George Jones, Tammy Wynette and Jim Reeves. So music was a big part of my life at home, and I didn't realize until I left church how much of a strong influence it was. After leaving the church, I began to listen to secular music, a lot of secular music. And this formulated a deep desire in my life to be surrounded by this type of music. And let me just say, it wasn't just going from leaving church to listening to secular music. There were some types of Christian music that naturally led me into that. I used to listen to a lot of Winans. I don't know if you know, you know. I mean, I don't know how many of you know. But those sort of songs and the more upbeat songs led me into a trajectory on a path which I was later to regret. And this formulated the deep desire in my life to be surrounded by this type of music. While I was driving, I listened to it. Whilst in my bedroom, I listened to it. Eventually, it led me to becoming a DJ, and I used to play as a DJ regularly at various pubs, clubs, and parties, and I used to get paid quite well for it. Lord, forgive me. One of the main skills of a good DJ was to combine two records together that were playing on two different turntables. This was called mixing. And the aim of mixing was to keep the party going so there's no break. Keep that vibe rising. To make sure that there was no break in the music, the DJ would mix and blend two songs together so you seamlessly go from one to another without even realizing that the record has changed. And I was always, as a DJ, listening and looking out for different records that could, I thought, would mix with other records that I had. Remember earlier that I mentioned that spiritual and secular music has no place in worship. I'm going to play two pieces of music. The first piece I'm playing, you will hear the music. But I've taken the words, the sound, the singing out. But I just want you to listen to the rhythm of the song, because I'm then going to play something else to you. If you could go to the next two sector, not the next, yes, this one. And if you could play that for me, please. This is the beat to a secular song. Okay, that's enough. If you could go to the next slide, please, and then play the that's right. Listen, remember the beat of that song that you just had.
Lift up my hands and say, Lord, I lift your name on high. Can you say that, Lord, I lift your name on high? High above my problem, high above my sickness, high above my infirmity. Everybody in the house, just put your hands on it just like.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you.
Even you at home, transform your living room into a sanctuary.
Thank you. Now, I remember when I came back into church and I heard this chorus being sung, I thought, hang on a minute, I know that rhythm. No one else knew, and everybody was dancing and shaking up and singing, Lord, I lift your name. And I was horrified. In Selected Messages, Volume 2, Ellen White warns us that Satan will make music a snare by the way in which it is conducted. God calls upon his people who have the light before them in the word and in the testimonies to read and consider and to take heed. Clear and definite instruction has been given in order that all may understand. But the itching desire to originate something new results in strange doctrines and largely destroys the influence of those who would be a power for good if they held firm the beginning of their confidence in the truth the Lord had given them. And let us bear in mind that there is still a big issue. There was an issue back then for Ellen White, and there's still a big issue, even worse now in our church. You see, the devil began his plan of deception from the beginning of the world. This is nothing new. Same old tricks. In Selected Messages, Volume 2, Ellen White again says, the Holy Spirit will never manifest himself in such style of worship. She said that this style of worship is not needed to convert souls to the truth. And she goes on to say that the style of false worship will once more be seen in our camp meetings shortly before the close of reprobation. She also stated that we should not encourage this kind of music, these music genres and the style of music that was used at that time. I'm closing now, but I just want to close with these words from Selected Messages, Volume 2. The Lord has shown me, Ellen White says, just before the close of probation, every uncouth thing will be demonstrated. There will be shouting with drums, music and dancing. The senses of rational beings will become so confused that they cannot be trusted to make right decisions. And this is called the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never reveals itself in such methods, in such a bedlam of noise. This is an invention of Satan to cover up his ingenious methods for making of none effect the pure, sincere, elevating, ennobling, sanctifying truth for this time. The truth for this time needs nothing of this kind in its work of converting souls. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which is conducted aright, which might be a blessing. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise to have a carnival, and this is termed the Holy Spirit's working. No encouragement should be given to this kind of worship. The same kind of influence came in after the passing of the time of 1844. The same kind of representations were made. Men became excited and were worked by a power thought to be the power of God. The Holy Spirit has nothing to do with such a confusion of noise. a multitude of sounds has passed before. Satan, amid the din and confusion of such music, which properly conducted would be a praise and glory to God, he makes its effect like the poison sting of the serpent. Those things which have been in the past will be in the future. Satan will make music a snare by the way in which it is conducted. God calls upon his people who have the light before them in the word and in the testimonies to read and consider and to take heed. Clear and definite instruction has been given in order that all may understand. But the itching desire to originate something new results in strange doctrines and largely destroys the influence of those who would be a power for good if they held firm the beginning of their confidence in the truth that the Lord has given them. Church, we are at the end of Earth's history, and Jesus is soon to come, amen? I'm not here today to change any of your minds. I'm just here to challenge your thinking and remind you and to encourage you to make room for the Holy Spirit to work in your own lives. Don't leave here the same, church. Young people, be careful of what you listen to. Be careful of the influences around you. Don't leave here the same. I pray that through what I've shared with you today, that your spirit has been disquieted and that you have been challenged by this word today. So what are the key points I want you to take away with you? The days of smoke and mirrors are over. Satan is bold now in everything that he's doing. He's working with purpose, fervent endeavor through anyone and everyone who is willing to make themselves available to him. God is also bold in what he is requiring of us. Isaiah 62 verses 6 reminds us that God has set us as watchmen upon the walls. Know that if we choose to stand for God, you will be ridiculed. You will be pushed aside and spoken of as being strange. But know that whilst being alienated and left out and being spoken about and treated unfairly, being singled out and being attacked by people through the devil, remember 1 John 4 verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God is looking for an end time group of people who love him enough, and despite the ridicule, such individuals will be willing to stand for the truth of God. Is that you? Let us lift him up. Lift him up in our conversation. Let us lift him up. Lift him up in everything that we do. Even if you are the only person, God can take control of any situation and he will take care of you. Things are getting worse, church, for all of us. Even in our church, we are no longer safe from deceptions and delusions. Your only way to ensure that you are saved from deceptions is to spend much time in the Word of God. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So lift him up in all that you do, church. Amen. Amen. I now invite Voices in Praise to